even during the plague pandemic, when we are under the chastisement and rebuke of the Lord in the church, preachers were so caught up in sin. And see, this is the problem with sin. You can get so caught up in sin, you can't shake it. As someone said a long time ago, sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. That's what sin will do to you every time. Sin will take you straight to hell. And if you are still in sin, and sin does not bother you, you don't mind having a side piece, you don't mind having a little bit extra on the side, a concubine that is not lawful for you to have. If your sin does not bother you, if temptation does not disturb you, then you need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. I assure you, you preachers who are caught up in trafficking little girls and little boys, I can tell you straight up that you're lost and on your way to hell. Right from Jump Street. We don't even need to discuss it. You people who are so sick in the head that you watch little children being raped on some pornography site, you are lost and on your way to hell, and you need to be saved if you're not reprobate. However, if when it comes down to normal temptations, if you will, a man for a woman, tempted by a woman tempted by a man, and you're struggling with it, welcome to the club. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And that's what we're here for, to help you with. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You might not be faithful, but God is faithful. And every born-again Christian that I know will say the same thing, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. God is not taking away the temptation, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God wants you to be an escape artist, and he'll help you, that ye may be able to bear it. See, temptations test the soul. Temptations test to see whether or not you're going to be faithful to the Lord. And so, beloved, how to overcome temptation, part 174. This is a lifelong series. Because I thought when I was a young Christian, if I got, once I got into my 50s and 60s, I wouldn't be tempted as much. I am tempted as much, but through God's loving chastisement, I have learned obedience through the things that I have suffered. And so I am more established and I'm stable. And it would take a whole lot for me to do something like that now. And I hope that you've gotten to that point in your life. For most of us, it takes a while. And we're dealing with still the sin of pride, the mother of all other sins. In the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Service, message number 298 in this entire series, I read to you our foundational passage. Please hide it in your heart. And now I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 17 as our special passage for today. The Bible reads, as you remain standing, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Now you know that this is the word of God when you hear something like that. I know you want to run with the crowd and jam, jam, boogie, boogie, and let the good times roll. And eat out of your trunk and get drunk. I know that some of you Christians are, you're like David when he was struggling at the prosperity of the wicked. Pardon me. Seems like everything goes their way. Seems like they're having a whole lot of fun. The prosperity of the wicked. But when you read the word of God, you see this. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. I know I might get in trouble with some of my brethren, and I admit that I'm speculating on this. And that is, you wonder why we have volcanoes. Well, I believe that hell is in the center of this earth. And I don't know, I may be wrong, but I believe that so many people are dying, and we got two or three volcanoes, four or five volcanoes now going off. I'm just speculating. I think that the volcanoes are a vent for hell. Because we see here in this verse, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. See, hell was not made for human beings. The Lord made hell for the devil and his angels. But if you act like the devil and look like the devil and talk like the devil and reject Jesus Christ like the devil, you will go to hell with the devil, and hell will enlarge itself and make room for you. And I'm just thinking that volcanoes serve as a vent for hell. All of that has to go somewhere. That's just what I'm thinking. I have no science on that. I really don't have any Bible on that. It's just a thought. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, their proud looks, their arrogancy, their thinking that they're better than others. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. You rejoicing in the party, in the jam, jam, boogie, boogie lifestyle. And the mean man, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. They will be humbled as they descend into hell. Kind of like the son of Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar. They were partying and doing the Obama dance and jam, jam, boogie, boogie, and letting the good times roll. But then he wanted to mess with the Lord's stuff and said, go get the Lord's golden chalices and let's pour some of our party, jam, jam, atheist wine into it. And then he looked up and saw a hand, no man, writing on the wall, your kingdom has been weighed in the balances and has been found wanting. Your kingdom will end momentarily. And the Bible says, little, now you've seen this on television, on cartoons, but little, he lost the power in his legs. His legs begin to knock up against each other. Knees knocking up against each other. He was so frightened. A hand is writing on the wall. It's over. He was proud and jam, jam, boogie, boogie, and let the good time roll, and they were having a big party. This was the shindigger's last shenanigan. But when he looked at the handwriting on the wall, he got humble real quick. He said, go get Daniel, the man of God. But they were not thinking about Daniel. Daniel was at the house praying where they should have been. But that's how it is. That's how it's going to be when you descend into hell. All of your pride, all of your stubbornness. You did not listen to the man of God. You did not pray. You did not read the Bible. You continued in your sin, in your whoredom, in your homosexuality, in your lesbianism, in your lying, your cheating, in your side pieces. But as you descend into hell, you will get humble real quick. On the broad road to hell, when they start descending into hell, the crowd start going into hell, you can hear a pin drop. Nobody would be jamming. And nobody would be partying. No marijuana. No getting drunk. They will be stunned like Belshazzar was. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, the humble and meek Jesus Christ will be exalted in judgment as they stand before him, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. You remember Solomon? Solomon said, you can do what you want to do. You have a free will. But just understand, each and every one of you, you're going to stand before God someday. And you're going to give an answer to him regarding your life. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, what an amazing morning. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, the peace that comes through prayer. And Lord, thank you for the earlier prayer meetings this morning already. And Holy Father God, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. For we come to your throne of grace by faith. And Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we praise you and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all who name the name of Christ who are here today to individually and to humbly confess our own sins, faults, and failures. Help us to humble down off of our pride, our hubris, and our arrogancy. Help us to have this picture to be burned in our minds of people going down into hell. No more partying, no more jamming, no more arrogant looks, no pride, no hubris, but humbled faces. And help those of us who are living and who are able to hear this message, help us to humble down before you now, before it is eternally too late in every way. Help us to humble down right now, Lord, even people who name the name of Christ, and ask you to have mercy and grace upon us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and pride. Crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, your unction, and your anointing, and speak to our hearts once again from your Holy Word. And help us to change our ways and be humble and meek like you. And we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Help people to humble down today and believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ, and to have faith in you so that they can be saved from the hell we read about today. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. I'm sweating already because I just got through exercising not too long ago before I donned the pulpit. Dr. John MacArthur, the great prophet and pastor, said pride is the damning sin. Pride is the damning sin. There's a reason why God hates pride. It is the mother of sin. It is, if you will, the father of sin. Satan is the father of sin, of pride, rather, which is a sin. Dr. MacArthur said, pride is the damning sin that produces rebellion against God. stubbornness against God, disobedience against God. And there are some people who have it bad. Some people have it so bad that they die with that pride. And that's a frightening thought. The Pharaoh-style pride that will drive you into the sea and drown and go straight to hell. Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck in the Bible Knowledge Commentary says regarding this passage, because of Judah's lifestyle, she would experience several results. The worst being exile. Included in that experience would be death by hunger and thirst. Many would die. Both the powerful and those not that powerful. Both nobles and the masses, since death has no respect for rank. Always remember that. And by the way, God is not a respecter of persons. He really does not care about who you think you are. And death has no respect for rank. All proud people would be humiliated regardless of their previous stations in life. Truly, everybody will be in the same boat at this point. How about it, dear friend? Are you in that proud boat? Disregarding God? Disregarding the word of God? Not listening to the word of God when it comes your way? So caught up in your sin, your foolishness, your vanity, acting like you don't have time for God. You don't have time to listen to his word. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read his word. You're so important, aren't you? Filled with pride, stubbornness, and arrogance, and hubris, which is the height of pride. Hubris is when God has shown you favor and God has blessed you. And then you think that because of the blessings he bestowed upon you and the gifts and talents that he's given to you, and that you're rich and powerful now, that you think you can do anything and get away with anything. You think that you can get into a trafficking movement so that you can rape little girls and little boys, even though you are a powerful pastor. You think you can do anything. You think that you can prostitute your wife out to other men and get into a swinging ring, even though you are a pastor or a Christian school president, a principal or teacher. All of your bills are paid. You have plenty of money coming in, and so you think you can do anything. Hubris. And you think God is going to wink at you because you think God has a special love for you. But you're special. You have made it, and so you can do what you want to do. It's a form of pride that is very dangerous and very destructive. David committed the sin of pride, hubris. God had blessed him tremendously. God made him king over Israel. He was known to be a winner, a great administrator, a great general. The women loved him. He had plenty of women, wives and concubines. He had plenty of children, many children rather. And so he decided to stay home from war, the great David, the great general, the great president, the great king. He probably had seen Bathsheba before and was tempted and set this up, because there's really not a reason why he should have been home while his men were out fighting. And of course, Bathsheba was a very fine woman. She was a black woman. And he saw her, and he wanted her, and he's the king. And so he got her. See, that's hubris. I remember the day I learned that word. I was in college. And the teacher even used David in the example. That's a cut above pride. That's when you're so arrogant, you're so prideful and so proud and so you're so powerful, and you basking in the blessings of God, and you think that because God has blessed you so much that you can do that and get away with it because you think you're special to God. Now, I want to challenge you to read the Bible. Because if you would read the Bible, there's certain sins that great men and great women and great leaders did in the Bible that God never forgot. And the Bible will say, because Moses did this, he did not enter into the kingdom. David did this, so he can't build the tower. He can't build the temple. Saul did this, and one verse talks about how that Saul, of course, he did not kill all the people that God told him to kill. And then God said, this is after Saul died, he said, then God said that because he went and visited a witch, so you reap what you sow, and now he's dead, and I'm giving the kingdom to David. Don't think God forgets your sin. Now, and don't believe these preachers who tell you to forget your sins. No. You need to learn from them, because God does not forget them in that sense. As far as making sure you're chastised for it, he forgets it as far as you going to hell for it. But you will suffer for your sins. You will be chastised. You will be rebuked for your sins. And see, and this is one of the big problems in the church today. Even Dr. T.D. Jakes, he said, see, we're not used to hearing this kind of preaching. We're not used to this kind of thing happening in our lives. This rebuke and this chastisement and this death of bishops and pastors' wives and their children by the thousands. We're not used to this. But Jesus Christ said in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why didn't you hear it? Why didn't you know it? Because you bought into a lie. Millions of Christians, thousands of so-called Christians, bought into the lie that you can sin and basically not suffer for it. That is not the case, my beloved. That's not the case. I don't know where you got that from, but you didn't get it from the Bible. You did not get that from God, and you did not get that from Christ. If you believe that, then you believe that God has no recourse to deal with your disobedience, your immaturity, and your sin. But, oh, my dear friend, God does. It's called chastisement, and God will do it. And so, back to the text. This destruction of the nation would lead to a display of God's justice and God's holiness. And what God is doing right now, one of the things he's doing is reminding you of his justice and his holiness and his righteousness. My oldest daughter Danny's life's verse is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Get that part right there. See, you just want to stop at the "seek ye first the kingdom of God" and all these things we add unto you. No. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his holiness, his godliness, your doing right in his sightness." What? What are you talking about? Are you doing right? You call yourself a Christian. Jesus died for your sins. He paid for your sin, then, not to continue in sin. No, sister, you cannot have a boyfriend that you go visit every week and have sex with and call yourself a Christian and think that God's going to bless you anyhow. Don't you believe your little mentors and mothers, older mothers in the church who evidently have lost their minds, because they will say to the pastor and say to the young lady, "Well, you know, women have their needs." And it's okay in the church for women to have their needs and to try to find some way to satisfy their needs out of the realm of marriage. But it's not okay. But that's what we're here today. But if a man does it, he's a dog. Look at him. He ought to be tarred and feathered. Kicked out of the church. But there's a secret thing going on in the church. It's okay for the women, you know, and the divorced women and the women, the single women in the church. It's okay for them to have a boyfriend who comes over and satisfies their sexual needs. Because, and the pastor is aware of it, and the wife supports it. The pastor's wife supports it. Oh, they can't, we can't kick out the women. There's about 8 or 9 bo peeps that go around servicing the women in the church. And the pastor is aware of it. He can't touch it, but he's aware of it. And the wife knows about it and supports it. Because, you know, women got to get their needs met. But as soon as Deacon Bo Peep is caught, oh, we got to tar and feather him. He's got to go, and he's got to get out of the ministry, and so forth and so on. Nothing is done to the woman. She's the victim. And see, this is the kind of mess that has got us into this mess that we're in right now. I'm telling you, this has been going on for years. I'm telling you this because I know of some church folks way back when I was in the Air Force. They were trying to turn me on to this woman. They wanted me to get with her. And so I started asking questions about her. They all came down to visit me, and I remember we was in this room, and it was way back years ago, way before I even knew of my wife. I'm 6 years older than my wife, and so she was probably, back in those days, a young teenager. So way before I got married, way before I met my wife, so it's not her. But, and these are some old school saints from the Holiness Church. They were friends with my parents. And it was way even back then, and these people were supposed to be holy and full of holiness, and the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And I already knew that many of them were hypocrites and phonies and did all kinds of stuff. One was a lesbian even back then. And some of the men act like they had some sugar in the tank. I don't want to say any name, but some names are popping in my mind. And they tell him about this young lady. And I guess it was a connection. They had a connection with my mother and everybody, and they were just trying to get me to go head on and get with this woman and marry her, I guess. And then somehow it came up, you know, well, who has she been with? I'm sure that I was a part of that questioning. But I introduced it, and so, and then someone, one of the old ladies, pulled me to the side and said, well, you know, listen, we don't want to get into all of that because, you know, young women have needs and so forth and so on. And you know, some things may have happened with a man in the past and so forth. You don't need to worry about that. Because women, you know, have needs and desires and things, and so she may have been with somebody in the past, so forth and so on. And of course I was very young at the time, and I made a decision. I mean, with them, it was good to see you all, but I just have no interest. And God protected me from that situation. That's way back, man. That's way back in the early 80s when that happened. When the older ladies of the church told me that. It's okay for women to just do what they want, and it's okay for them to be lesbians and have a maintenance man that comes by to have sex with them, and you know, because women have needs in the church, and there are not that many men, and so forth, and some things happen, and so forth, and it's okay. And they never asked to leave the church. Nobody, it's a secret, it's a hush, hush. Do not bow your head yet. It's not time to pray, you lying people. And that's way back in the early 80s, when I was a young Christian. And I know it's that way in the church now more than ever. And it's a secret. It's a hush-hush thing that goes on in the church. But God wants us to be holy. As I told you, my daughter's life's verse, and I hope she still lives by it. God has certainly blessed her tremendously. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his holiness, his godliness, even in your life. His humility, his meekness. How are we doing? How are we doing? Are you still mean as the devil? The Bible says in this passage, the mean man, that includes the mean woman, will descend into hell. You know, there are just some people who are mean. Have you ever been around folks like that? You have some in your family, mean as the devil. And it's rooted in pride, that meanness. And watch this. They get a kick out of being mean. They get pleasure out of being mean and hateful. They think that's their job, to be mean and disrespectful and hateful. They get a demonic satisfaction out of being mean. They do. Pardon me. They live to be mean. Have you ever been around folks like this? They're just mean. Well, God says they're going to descend into hell. No, you can't call yourself a follower of Christ and be mean. You say, well, I'm mean because I didn't get enough sleep. Well, I mean, you need to get your sleep, but you don't have to wake up mean and be mean to everybody because you didn't get enough sleep. Because if you're a true Christian, that Christianity overrides your lack of sleep. Christ in you overrides your lack of sleep. Well, I got my period coming on, so no. The Christ in you will override that. Well, I don't feel that well. I know Christians who had cancer, racked in pain, still had the joy of the Lord, had the peace of the Lord. If you have Jesus Christ living in you, you're going to be pretty much the same no matter what you're going through. That is the blessing of being a Christian. Circumstances may change, but you don't change because Christ does not change. He's the same yesterday, the day, and forever. Stop being mean and hateful. Doing things on purpose to hurt people. They try to love you and they try to help you, and you just hell bent on being mean, and you want to go to hell. Being mean, because as the old folks used to say, God does not like ugly. And it's all rooted in pride. So, preacher, why you always got to preach on sin and so forth? I had a family member who joined our church way back. And she told me, you need to stop preaching against adultery and fornication and all of that. Why you preach on that? I said, the reason why you want me to stop doing it, because that's what you're doing. That's what I told her. And you're not going to get a great crowd that way. You're always preaching against sin and adultery and sex and sin, fornication and so forth. And she was a single woman, and she was trying to do that with people, even in the church. And I had to put out, that's right, a family member, because she's trying to mess with a man who's already married in my church. Now, and let me just say to some of you pastors' wives out here, who you think you're slick. Now here's your pastor husband trying to win men to Christ. Listen to me carefully. Some of you know where I'm going already. Bringing men into the church that's already 90% women. And you take your telescope out of whoredom and you set your eyes on them like Potiphar's wife. And you start whoring around with them, trying to show your butt to them and everything else. You are of the devil. You are the classic Jezebel. And you need to get saved, or you need to repent of that as a saved person. And make sure you don't do it. And make sure you don't teach the other women to do it or allow them to do it. With your whorish self, already married, and soon as a handsome young man comes in, here you are with your cougar teeth showing, ready to pounce. And your husband is trying to raise up an army of valiant men in the church, and you carrying yourself like a whore as soon as you can with that man. I know you don't like it, but I can care less. It happens, sadly, in the church. Pastor's trying to raise up men. He's having them over for barbecue and Super Bowl watching and reading books to them to help them be a better man. And you trying to rub up against them and trying to show them your booty at the church and at the gathering, using your evil, wicked eyes, hell-bent on trying to get that man to pay you some attention. And you're the pastor's wife, or you're the associate pastor's wife, or you are a single woman in ministry at the church. The devil, you are allowing the devil to use you to take down a good man. It has happened many times in the church. The devil is behind it. Back to the main point. This does not mean that he delights in revenge. Rather, he keeps his word. God keeps his word as spoken in the covenant. No, God does not delight in revenge, but God's going to keep his word. He has to. He's God. And by the way, as you know, in our human relationships, when parents do not keep their word, when officers over men don't keep their word, when bosses don't keep their word, you're going to lose discipline and you're going to lose morale among the people, because your word, your punishments that you've talked about people, and see, have you learned yet? Have you found out? Football players, big old husky men, football players, they want a coach. They hate the coach sometimes in the beginning, but they want a coach who's going to hold them accountable and is going to keep discipline on the team. I've heard it many, many times. These coaches who try to be buddy-buddy with the players and friends and kick it with them and oh, that's not going to get it. And when they lax on the discipline, and fining people for not showing up for practice and all of that, everybody needs to be in practice so that we can win on Sunday. And if you don't enforce that, enforce the rules, this is all written down before the coach even gets there. You miss practice, you're going to be fined $5,000. We're going to cut your pay. If you show up late, we're gonna charge you $3,000. You have to enforce that and make that happen. Otherwise, you're gonna lose discipline. And if you don't have discipline, you can't win. See, and so God is not like us, lax on the discipline, letting people go with their evil and their sin. He keeps his word. He's not trying to hurt anybody. He loves everybody. But if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can mark it down, dear friends, you're going to hell. You say, but I didn't do that many sins. But, Lord, I went to church and I gave money to your church. And, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He has to do it. God is so loving, I doubt if he wants to do it, but he has to. He's God. He takes no pleasure in that. He takes no pleasure in people reaping what they have sown. And by the way, much of the reaping and sowing, my beloved, sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind, that's automatic. God does not have to get off his throne. Okay, he's got to reap what he's... It's automatic. It's a universal law. The Indians call it karma. Christians call it sowing and reaping. It's automatic. It's going to happen. It's like throwing out a boomerang. It's going to come back and hit you upside the head. his discipline of the nation would show that he still loved her and would someday bring her back into a favorite position. See, God's chastisement of us, God's rebuke of us, this plague, you know who hates this plague and this coronavirus the most? Christians, who have somehow been taught to think that church and serving God is supposed to be about having fun, and everybody's supposed to be happy, and everybody's supposed to be rich, and you know, life is supposed to be fun for us and easy, and we're supposed to be prosperous and full of pleasure all of the time. You're not in heaven, man. You're in between heaven and hell. This is a battleground. And God is reminding you of that. Now, I believe the rapture is going to happen. I believe the Lord's coming back. And I hope he comes back soon. I'm looking forward to his coming. But I really don't believe this plague has anything to do with the second coming, other than the fact, and that's what some Christians wanted to be. They wanted to be about the second coming. I don't believe it's about the second coming. I believe God is trying to whip the church in shape so that more souls can get saved. That's what I believe. I believe that God is rebuking and chastising the church so that, and pruning the church so that the church can be more productive in doing what he commanded us to do. Because we have committed the greatest sins, which are the easiest things for Christians to do. We have committed the great sin of disobeying the great commandment and disobeying the great commission. Two things that Jesus told us to do, and we have not done that. We have not even come close. Today is in the news. Two Bible-believing Southern Baptist preachers. One is suing the other over the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention. You know what I say? They ought to cut that foolishness out and shaming Jesus in front of the world. Go get some gospel tracts that they have not seen in years and dust them off. And go out into the community and pass out some gospel tracts and try to get some souls saved and shut that foolishness up. Because this is what we have lowered ourselves to, suing one another about church mess. That's how pitiful we are. And both of these men have probably never witnessed it, haven't witnessed it somebody in the past 20 years. They're certainly not obeying the Great Commission. I mean, the Great Commandment. They don't love each other. They don't love God. They don't love Jesus. That's why they don't witness anybody. And they think they're doing God's service by doing that. And they're becoming a mockery in this country and around the globe. And so, beloved, this passage shows us that we have nothing to be proud of by telling us the end state of humanity. Without belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of humanity is destined to descend into hell, regardless of all the things they gloried in and rejoiced in while they were alive on earth. Your degrees, your denominational affiliation, your position in the church, your money, your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill that you are in debt to your neck in, your fine car that you drive with the saying, I owe, so as off to work I go. things that you glory in, you're proud of. Where your children went to school, this, that, and the other, all will descend into hell. None of that matters. And I hope you understand, the older you get, the more you understand, none of that stuff matters, means nothing. The lowly man or mean man will be brought down even lower. And those who are strong and lift their eyes proudly will be humbled. And Dr. Matthew Henry said they will be humbled and abased. And all their honors, their honorary degrees, prestigious awards, exploits on the field, and all their honors laid in the dust. This will be done effectually by death. Now let me tell you something. I cannot imagine a man who has lived in our modern times a more full life and a greater life than Colin Powell. What a life. And not only that, he stayed with his one and only wife. That is a huge accomplishment in our society, with all of the opportunities he had with other women. I'm sure women would consider him a handsome catch. But he stayed with his wife. And it appears that they had a wonderful relationship. The man had a tremendous life. Very few people accomplish as much and do as much as he did. And not only that, at one point he was one of the most respected men in the country. Somebody said he is the greatest president America never had. What a life. And he lived a long life, 85 years, and was strong up until the end. Now, I hope to God that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere along the line. He did speak with Billy Graham. I saw a picture of them talking one time. I hope he got saved. Because Billy Graham was on it. He was on it. But if he did not get saved in his pride, because there are good people like that who are proud. And by the way, he was a Jamaican. He, you know, and I've already told you about the pride of Jamaican people. It's a Pharaoh style pride. And if they get something in them where they don't want to believe in something, but it's hard to help them to see it. That's just the truth. I've never heard him give Jesus the glory, give Jesus the praise. I hope he got saved. But if he didn't, all of his pomp, all of his ceremony, all of the rewards, all of the honors, and all of the privileges will descend into hell with them. They don't mean anything now. And when we ran an article in one of our publications, we said at the end, all that matters now is whether or not he trusted in Jesus Christ and got saved. This will be done, Dr. Matthew Henry said, effectually by death and the grave. Death will turn mirth, the jam, jam, boogie, boogie, always want to party spirit, which even in this plague people still want to be a part of. Death will turn mirth and party jam, jam, boogie, boogie, with a liquor in one hand and a woman or man to your side that you're not married to, would all of that will be turned from mirth into mourning. The mean man, the mean woman, and the mighty man meet together in the grave and under mortifying judgments, humbling judgments. Let a man be ever so high, death will bring him low. Ever so mean, death will bring him lower in the prospect of which the eyes of the lofty should now be humbled. It becomes those to look low that must shortly be laid low. Did you get that? Allow me to share that with you again. It becomes those who look low. It becomes those to look low that must shortly be laid low. May I say that to you again in your hearing? It becomes those to look low that must shortly be laid low. You better humble yourself down. Seeing as we have nothing, absolutely nothing, including Colin Powell, to be proud of, and how we will be brought low regardless of our station on earth. It befits us to be humble, glory be to God, before God, and throw ourselves on His mercy through Christ's sacrifice to save us from hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Dear friend, if you struggle with pride, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that awful temptation. Right now, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get real humble and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior. For the meek and humble Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, said the most important words ever said to mankind in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said, recorded in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the hell that you deserve. Oh, I know that may strike your pride, but that's okay. You don't need to be proud. You have nothing to be proud of. For whosoever, there's that word whosoever, means anybody at any time shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God, to be with the meek and lowly Jesus Christ. So meek and lowly, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived a holy and perfect life, who never sinned in word, thought, or deed, voluntarily chose to suffer for our sins like no man ever suffered. He bled and he died, was buried and rose on the third day for our sins. so that we can believe in him and be saved. He is the eternal, sacrificial Lamb of God, Passover Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. And if you want to be saved, the only way to be saved is by believing in him. Not following Hare Krishna, not following Buddha, not following Muhammad or anybody else. For Jesus Christ said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so, dear friend, if you want to be saved today, humble yourself down and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow me in this humble prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner. Lord, help me to be humble right now. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. For I admit that I have sinned by breaking your Ten Commandments, by lying, by stealing, by lusting after people and things, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, and by dishonoring you by taking your name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now, by your grace, believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today by your mercy and grace. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins and help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and help me to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible that I read from today and preached from today, you are now saved based upon the words of Jesus Christ. You are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. From this point forward, welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is based upon what Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll be back here tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock. If you want to have a good day in the Lord, pray without ceasing. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You say, well, preacher, that's hard. I know it's hard, but you need to do it. And it's going to be harder than that if you don't. So God bless you. Meditate on the Word of God. Be obedient to the message you heard this morning. And do great things for the Lord. Get you some gospel tracts. Well, I don't know where to get them. Make one and print it out. Go to Kinko's or go to UPS store, FedEx. Get it copied. Get your 10 copy, 20 copy, 30 copy, copy. Every time you go to Walmart, copied rather. Every time you go to Walmart, every time you go to Target, every time you go to your favorite store, parking lot, while you're walking in, hit 7 cars and try to get some souls saved. This is the best way to witness nowadays, folks. Most folks won't let you come near them. So make sure you, and don't go to people handing out anything. Just put it on the car, leave it on the counter, leave it in the bathroom. Do something. As the preacher Miles McPherson says out there in California, do something. Do something today. Go by your church and ask the pastor, where's the track rack? Oh, well, we tore that down. We don't pass out tracks anymore. Get it back up. Tell them to get it back up. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Everybody here has witnessed the miracle that you have done. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you have done here today. All of it. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel. As our technician, we'll get everything ready for it to be put up on demand. He did a fantastic job yesterday. Help him to do a fantastic job today. And Lord, we pray that millions would hear the gospel and get saved. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, all of us, to pray without ceasing throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying.